Prologue: The Fire and the Vision. Walnut Springs, Texas, August 17, 6:42 p.m. The wind howled through the Brazos River Valley like a breath from something ancient, sweeping dust and heat across the withered fields and cracked roads of Walnut Springs. The land was dry, the trees brittle, the hills pale and thirsty. No rain had touched the town in months. The grass crunched underfoot like bones, every breath tasted of smoke. Fire had come, and it had come with a hunger. Ethan Cross stood at the edge of the burn line, dressed in sweat-soaked turnout gear, staring at the Cormack house. It was barely a house anymore, just a silhouette framed in flame. The roof was gone, collapsed inward like a broken jaw. The upper floor glowed red behind scorched window panes, each one pulsing with the same flickering breath. The fire was climbing faster than anyone had expected. Cedar groves that had stood for generations now lit the horizon like a sea of torches. He pressed the radio to his shoulder. Unit 3, this is Cross. Visual confirmation of life on the second floor, northwest corner. I'm going in.
Copy that, came the reply, static broken. Winds shifting hard north, conditions unstable, proceed with caution.
He dropped the radio, drew in a breath behind the mask, and stepped through the broken gate. The front porch sagged beneath his boots, ash swirled around his legs as the door swung open. Inside, the house groaned with fire. It wasn't just noise, it was a kind of language, a thousand creaks and pops and roars that seemed to say, "You are too late." Smoke poured down the staircase in heavy black coils. Every surface was hot to the touch, wallpaper peeled like burned skin. Family photos melted into blistered frames. The floor trembled beneath him. He moved fast, stepping over fallen beams and collapsed drywall. The staircase looked ready to give way, but he climbed it anyway. Halfway up, something snapped beneath him. The banister tore loose. He stumbled but kept going, eyes locked on the narrow hallway at the top. There was a sound. Not the fire, not the beams or windows or creaking roof. A voice, small, afraid. A child. Ethan moved toward it. He found the boy standing at the far end of the hall, bathed in the red glow of the flames behind him. He was barefoot, covered in soot, unmoving. His mouth hung open as if trying to call for help, but unable to remember how. His eyes were fixed, not on Ethan, but on something behind him. Then the ceiling collapsed. Ethan saw only fire and falling beams and then felt himself thrown backward as the hallway exploded in heat and debris. His body struck the wall. The floor buckled beneath him. A second beam came down across his chest, knocking the air from his lungs. His helmet clattered against the floorboards, the world dimmed, and then it disappeared. He was standing. The air was no longer hot, but it pressed against him like stone. The smoke was gone, but something darker had replaced it, a deep, unmoving dusk that painted everything in tones of ash and rust. The ground beneath him was smooth, black, and cracked like dried obsidian. Far across the horizon, towers of flame rose like monuments, unmoving and unnatural. He heard them before he saw them. Voices, 1,000, 10,000, perhaps more. Not screaming, not praying, chanting. The sound moved like a wave, low, steady, terrifying in its harmony. Ahead of him, a vast platform climbed from the earth. It was made of black stone, veined with crimson. its edges sharp and precise, as if carved by fire itself. On either side, massive statues loomed. They bore the same face, stern, resolute, unmoved by time or mercy. Then came the figure. He stepped forward from the shadows behind the platform, tall, still, commanding. His coat, black as coal, drifted behind him like trailing smoke. He moved without hurry, without hesitation, as if the world already belonged to him and had merely been waiting for him to take it back. The chanting surged. Men and women in the crowd, millions strong, fell to their knees, heads bowed, eyes wet with awe. The man ascended the platform. He said nothing at first. He only stood there, surveying the masses as a king might gaze across his kingdom, not with pride, but with certainty. Then he lifted one hand. Silence. Not a breath, not a whisper. Even the air stood still. He spoke. "I did not come to preserve what was." His voice was quiet, but it carried as though the world itself bent forward to hear it. "I did not come to heal what you broke." He stepped to the edge of the platform. "I came to burn it down." The ground trembled. Behind him, a throne rose from the stone, a monstrous seat forged of iron, ash, and flame. It twisted upward from the earth like it had always been there, waiting just beneath the surface. The man turned, sat, and rested his hands on the armrests like one who had waited centuries for this moment. And then he turned his gaze toward Ethan. Their eyes met. There was no confusion in that look, no curiosity, only recognition. The man on the throne knew him, had always known him. And in the moment that their eyes locked, Ethan understood with sudden, absolute clarity. This was not a dream. This was a warning. He awoke to sirens, to the rush of oxygen and hands lifting him onto a stretcher. He could hear his name, faint and distant. He could feel the ache in his ribs, the dry burn in his throat, the weight of the heat still clinging to his gear. But none of it mattered. The boy was gone. The house was gone. The fire had passed. But something far worse had ignited. That night, long after the emergency crews had left and the sky had turned to velvet and stars, Ethan sat alone on his back porch, staring out at the black hills beyond Walnut Springs. His hands trembled as he opened a fresh journal and wrote the first entry. August 17. I saw him. He is real. He is coming. The pen slipped from his fingers, the wind moved through the trees like a whisper, and somewhere far beyond the horizon, something unseen stirred. The fire had ended, but the vision was only the beginning. Darkness was coming, a darkness not yet seen since creation.